Chapter 78. The Twisted Waltz. The golden door had not opened because the guardian died. Hexen understood that only after he put on the cloak. The cloak of the moon settled across his shoulders with almost no weight at all. Its dark fabric shifted like the edge of night, and for a moment the ancient doorway did nothing. And something inside the wall recognized him. No hand touched the gold. No command was spoken. The great doors drew apart. Fender looked from the opening to Hexen. So it was waiting for you. Hexen touched the clasp at his throat. Apparently. That is worse. I didn't say it was good. Behind them, the frozen cavern remained lit by the portraits of people who had belonged to lives older than the kingdoms above. The enormous buried guardian lay dead among shattered ice. Five names remained locked into the gold cylinder farther back. One of them belonged to Grasim. And somewhere within the machinery of the path, something had called three of the hero's masters. That alone should have been enough reason to stop. Then the temperature began falling. Hexen felt it first because the cloak reacted before he did. The enchanted leather tightened slightly against his body, preserving warmth as the cavern's air sharpened around them. Fender's breath thickened. Nithnarl glanced back. Is it getting colder? Yes, Hexen said. Kayla looked toward the passage beyond the open door. Then we move? Fender gave the freezing cavern one last look. Remarkably, I agree with him. Write it down. I intend to. They passed through the door. The mist began almost immediately. It clung low against the floor at first, spilling between their boots in thin white ribbons. Farther down the tunnel it rose until it reached their knees, then their waists, turning the corridor ahead into a place defined mostly by shapes and fading light. The walls changed again. The frozen cavern behind them had been natural stone invaded by ancient machinery. This passage had been worked deliberately. Its surfaces were too smooth, its curves too miserable. Yet it did not feel like the architecture beneath the thieves' warehouse or the ceremonial mechanism surrounding the names. Those had been strange. This was wrong. Findus Low. The oath bow remained in his hand. You feel that? Kayla glanced at him. The fog? No. Nathanarl understood. The tunnel had a presence. Not life. Not precisely magic. More like the sensation of entering a room where an argument had ended moments before and everyone involved had disappeared. Hexen touched the wall. Cold stone. Nothing moved beneath it. His fingers came away damp. Whatever this was, he said, it wasn't built like the other rooms. Kayla looked ahead. Maybe different people built it. Comforting. I wasn't trying to comfort you. I know. The passage bent northeast. Mist thickened around the turn. Then the ceiling vanished. They emerged into a space so large their lights could not immediately define it. At first, Fender thought they had reached another cavern. Then he saw the stairs. They rose from the mist in a broad ceremonial sweep, dark stone climbing toward a structure that should not have existed beneath Gildan. A house. A temple. A fortress. None of those descriptions survived more than a few seconds. The building possessed the proportions of a great manor, but every familiar element had been stretched or distorted. Narrow towers disappeared into darkness. High-pointed arches leaned toward one another like ribs. Balconies projected from walls in places where no reasonable builder would have needed them. Heavy stone supports curved rather than standing straight, giving the impression that the structure had grown around whatever lived inside it. It was gothic, in the oldest sense of the word. Not merely dark, hostile to straight lines, hostile perhaps to people. Kaler stopped at the foot of the stairs. What is that? Fender looked at him. You are asking us? Two immense statues flanked the staircase. They occupied the positions where some noble estate might have placed lions or gargoyles. These were neither. The bodies were roughly humanoid, though the resemblance weakened the longer one looked. Great shoulders hunched above powerful torsos. Wings might once have been part of the design, or perhaps merely folded membranes. The heads were mostly hidden beneath crowns of curling stone. Tentacles descended where mouths should have been. Dozens of them. Some wrapped the statues' arms. Others curled around the bases and vanished into carved waves or clouds or perhaps flesh. Weathering had smoothed portions of the figures, but not enough to make them easier to look at. Izamu studied the nearest guardian. They're statues. Fender nodded. So were Hexen and Leonidas. Kaler stepped onto the first stair. That one opened a door. After you twisted part of it backward. And I am establishing a pattern. Nathanara rose from the ground. Flaming wings unfolded behind her, pushing the mist away in slow spirals. I'll look. Fendu frowned. You said that at the waterfall. And I found the dragon. You found it with your face. It wasn't a dragon. That somehow makes the scouting worse. She was already rising. The structure became more disturbing from above. Its footprints sprawled much farther than the facade suggested. Wings extended into darkness on either side of a central block, forming courtyards or enclosed gardens. Sections of roof had collapsed, others remained almost perfectly intact. Then Netnarol saw the blue light. It came from the left side of the structure. Not a lamp. Not a flame. A glow powerful enough that narrow beams escaped through gaps in the roof and struck the mist below. She flew closer. Gloss. A large section of the roof had once been made almost entirely from it. An arboretum, perhaps. A greenhouse. Some enclosed garden designed to receive light in a place where light should never have existed. Very little of the glass remained visible. Growth covered it. Vines thicker than a man's arm crawled across the panes. Dense weeds formed layered mats. Roots had spread between the metal framework and split sections apart. Mixed among the plants were other shapes. Nethnarl hovered. Tentacles. At least they looked like tentacles. Some might have been vines twisted by centuries without sun. Others possessed curves too regular to be plants. One pressed flat against the glass before bending sharply downward into the room below. The blue light pushed between them, bright enough to escape, not bright enough to reveal what produced it. Fender called from below. What? Nethnarol descended partway. Glass roof. Can you see through? Mostly plants. Mostly? And tentacles. Kaler nodded as though that answered something. Fender stared at him. There is nothing good in that sentence. We've found the interesting part. That is not the same word. Nethnaro flew the length of the glass roof, looking for a clear opening. There was none. The growth had become a prison around the chamber. Even where panes were broken, vines and thick woody stems crossed the gaps like bars. She landed again. There's a strong blue light inside. Kaler looked at the front door. Then we go in. they began circling the structure first. That was mostly Fender's insistence. Kayla called it delay. Fender called it surviving long enough to become old. "You're already old," Nethneril said. "I am an elf." That did not answer me. It answered everything. They found no accessible windows. Every opening had been consumed by growth. In several places, the vines looked so dense that even Kaler would have needed time to hack through them. Some window frames had disappeared completely beneath roots and creeping tendrils. The plants did not move when watched. That was not reassuring. Near the northern side of the structure, Isamu stopped. The others nearly walked past him. He raised one hand. Something had been burned into the ground. The mark occupied a broad patch of stone between the main building and the overgrown glass chamber. It was not old carving weathered into invisibility. The surface around it remained dark. Charred. Kaler crouched. At first, it looked like a circle. Then they saw the lines inside it. Curves crossed straight marks. A central image had been seared into the stone deeply enough to leave shallow depressions. Portions resembled letters without forming any language, Kaler knew. Other shapes were simply symbols. Nethneril knelt on the opposite side, summoning. Fender looked toward the building. "You're certain?" "No." "Good." "I'm fairly certain." "Worse." Exxon touched the blackened edge. Ash came away on his fingers. He rubbed it between thumb and forefinger. The others watched his expression. "This isn't ancient." Kaler leaned closer. "How recent?" Hexen examined another section. Stone did not surrender dates easily, but fire left evidence. The burn had not weathered. Dust had not filled the shallow lines. The darkness remained too strong. A month. Nethneril looked at him. "Exactly?" "No." "Approximately?" "Within that kind of time." Nobody spoke for a moment. That changed the place. Ancient machinery could remain dormant for 1,000 years. Statues could wait. Names could be carved by people long dead. A burn 1 month old required someone. Kaler stood. "So somebody came through before us." "We're summoned something here," Fender said. Isamu looked toward the glass roof. Blue light continued bleeding through the vines. Nethneril studied the burned symbol. The Grand Sage only recently found the connection to the pack glitch. Hexen nodded. "Doesn't mean someone else hadn't already found it. Or been looking for it." Kaler stepped across the edge of the mark. Nothing happened. Fender sighed. "You know, we could examine something without standing on it." "We just did." "You examined it. Then you stood on it." "Still nothing." "That is not evidence."
"It is some evidence," they continued.
The music began on the western side of the structure. At first, Fender thought the sound came from someone's gear. A faint pattern. 3 beats. Pause. 3 beats. Pause. He stopped. "Do you hear that?" Kaler did. So did Hexen. Nethneril turned toward the wall. Music was playing inside. Not Naute. The stone muffled it until only fragments escaped, but the rhythm was unmistakable. A waltz. Or something that had once learned what a waltz was. The melody moved in circles without resolving. Notes climbed when they should have fallen, A pleasant phrase would begin, repeat twice, then discover some hidden dissonance and collapse into tones that made the skin behind Fendo's ears tighten. Then it recovered. Three beats. Three beats. Three beats. The pattern continued. Kaler listened. That's awful. Fender looked at him. At last, expertise. I know music. You own swords. Those are not mutually exclusive. The tune became slightly louder. For a few seconds, it sounded almost beautiful. Then the pitch bent. Not enough to become noise. Enough to make beauty itself feel suspicious. Nefneral approached the wall. No windows here. Break it? Kaler asked. No. No. Fender smiled. Progress. Nethaneril ignored him. She pressed her palm against the stone. The waltz continued on the other side. Slow. Elegant. Diseased. Hexen turned. Something moved near the ground. Wait. A red shape slipped between two cracks in the stone paving. Isamu saw it next. It extended perhaps 3 feet before they understood that it was not blood. Too thick. Too deliberate. A pseudopod of dark crimson slime flattened across the floor, paused as though sensing them, then began withdrawing. Kaler reached for Peacemaker. The ooze folded downward. Knotted to a hole. Into the ground itself. It squeezed through a seam that should not have admitted a finger and vanished beneath the paving stones. Isamu crouched beside the place. Nothing remained. Fender looked at Hexen. Animal? Animal? No. Net. Net. No. Kaler. It next time. Fender nodded. There, a complete scholarly investigation. The music continued. Nobody laughed much. They returned to the entrance. The main doors were far smaller than the golden gate behind them, but more intimidating in their own way. Dark metal reinforced black wood. The surface bore shallow patterns almost invisible beneath age and grime. Kaler put one hand against it. Fender opened his mouth. Kaler pushed. The door opened. Fender closed his mouth. Disappointed. A little. Inside, the music became clearer. That did not improve it. The entrance hall stretched ahead beneath a ceiling lost in shadow. Narrow corridors branched from it. Stone columns supported balconies above. Everything belonged to the same impossible architectural vocabulary as the exterior human shapes distorted by proportion. Familiar decoration pushed several degrees beyond comfort. The figurines stood along one wall. Kaler passed them at first. Isamu did not. Theys. Small statues occupied shelves and low pedestals. Dozens. Perhaps more. Most were no taller than a drinking cup. The first represented a man. At least Fender decided it had begun as one. The sculptor had given the figure arms and legs, a face, shoulders, ribs. Then tentacles erupted from the torso. Others pierced the back. One curved through the open mouth. The figure's body bent around them in a pose that could only have represented pain. Nethaneril lifted another. The next was different. Not in subject. In torture. Human limbs had been elongated until the joints looked impossible. The spine had been twisted. Something resembling a second face protruded from the chest. Another figurine showed two bodies joined together. Another had been opened through the middle, while tiny carved tendrils emerged from within. Isamu studied the shells. "They're all different. Variations," Hickson said. Fender looked at him. "On suffering." Hickson did not answer. Nethneril examined the piece in her hand. No magic answered her. Whatever the figurine meant, it was only stone. She set it back. Kaler picked up another. "Can we take one?" Fender looked at him. "Why?" "To show someone."
"Who?"
"The Grand Sage." Fender considered the tiny mutilated figure. "That may finally punish him for sending us down here." Kaler put it away. The waltz continued. It came from deeper inside now, though every corridor made the direction less certain. At times the melody seemed to travel through the walls. At others it sounded as though someone played directly overhead. They advanced. The building was not abandoned. That became clear even before they found the first crates. Dust covered portions of the floor, but not evenly. Some rooms held ancient furniture collapsed beneath its own age. Others contained newer objects. Storage boxes, weapon racks, tables. The mixture reminded Hickson unpleasantly of the thieves' warehouse far above. Ancient places becoming useful to people who did not understand them. Except whoever had been here recently understood enough to burn a summoning symbol into the courtyard. They enter a broader chamber. Weapons lay across a table. Fender stopped immediately. "Those look useful." Kaler inspected the nearest rack. "Maybe. Some were ordinary. Spears. Blades. Crossbow parts." Other objects were harder to identify. Metal rods with no obvious grip. A cluster of narrow shafts ending in prongs. Several pieces that might have been armor if designed for bodies shaped nothing like theirs. Isamu approached one of the crates. Buzzing came from inside. He stopped. Everyone else stopped with him. The sound was faint. Steady. Metallic. Bender's hand moved toward the oath bow. "B." "No," Hickson said. The buzzing grew louder. Nethnarl raised the staff of power. Kaler stepped between the crate and the others. The lid moved. Not upward. Sideways. A narrow gap opened. Something silver rose through it. A sphere. Polished metal caught the room's dim light. It was roughly the size of a man's head, though several articulated sections increased its silhouette. Thin seams circled the body. Small spikes protruded and retracted as it hovered. No wings held it aloft. No visible magic surrounded it. It simply floated. Buzzing. Fender stared. "I hate it." The sphere turned toward him. Blue light appeared along one seam. Fender moved. Lightning struck the place where he had been. The bolt crossed the chamber and exploded against stone. More buzzing answered from the crates. Kaler drew Peacemaker. "How many?" The first sphere rose higher. A second emerged. Then a third. "Enough," Nathmal said. Hickson called the wolves. They appeared in a rush of fur and snarling movement, spreading around him as the metallic creatures filled the room. Then Hickson changed. The cloak of the moon changed with him. That was the first surprise. His human outline widened, arms thickened, hands became paws, his face pushed forward into the muzzle of a great bear. Ordinarily, clothing and equipment vanished into the transformation or became irrelevant beneath a new shape. The cloak didn't either. For a moment, dark moonlit fabric passed through fur like shadow. Then the magic settled into the beast. Hexen felt protected. Not armored exactly. Recognized. The sphere nearest him rotated. Hexen reached for magic he should not have been able to use in that body. A green lash appeared. Thorns curled along its length. The thorn whip snapped across the chamber and struck metal. The sphere jerked sideways. Fender looked at the bear. You could do that now. Hexen roared. Excellent conversation. Another construct emerged from a crate. Nethan R.L. raised the staff of power. The spheres were spreading. If they surrounded the party, every line through the room became dangerous. She saw the opening. Move. Thendor shifted left. Kaler ducked. Lightning erupted from Nethneril's staff. Her bolt was nothing like the thin electrical strikes the constructs had used. It crossed the chamber like judgment. White-blue energy swallowed the nearest sphere and threw it backward through the air. Metal plowed, one side blackened. The staff dimmed in Nethneril's hands. She felt its reserves collapse almost to nothing. One left, she said. Fender looked at the staff. That sounds bad. It sounds sufficient. The damaged sphere answered. Lightning shot from its body. The bolt crossed Fender before continuing into Nethnarl. Pain tightened every muscle in the elf's body. He stumbled. Nethnarl's wings flared violently as current passed through them. Another sphere emerged. Its electrical attack crossed Hexen's transformed body and struck Kayla behind him. The bear roared. Kayla barely moved. Smoke curled from the edge of his armor. Annoying. Fender, recover. You have an unreasonable definition of pain. A third line of lightning crossed the fight. Izamo moved through it. Not away. Through. Electricity spit around him as he crossed the room with impossible speed. Nethanaro caught part of the blast behind him, but the monk emerged untouched. One of the constructs turned toward Izamo. This one was different. Its metal shell opened. A piston shot from the front. Izamo leaned aside. The spike missed his head by inches. The piston retracted. He stared at the machine. No lightning. Fender drew the vorpal longsword. So it stabs. Useful distinction. Fell. Fell. The room became movement. The constructs had no fear, no hesitation. They rose from the crates, one after another, selected lines through the heroes and fired. Lightning snapped between stone walls. Ozone replaced the smell of dust. The wolves scattered beneath the arcs. Hexen drove forward in bear form, the cloak of the moon preserving the strength of his transformed body, even when metal spikes glanced against him. Struck one spear with a paw. It spun away. The green thorn whip followed. Magic in animal form. A gift from a cloak that had been waiting for him beneath the path. He had chosen thorn whip and produced flame almost experimentally. Now the choice felt less theoretical. Another sphere opened its metal shell. Izamu saw several constructs clustered near the crates. He reached into his gear. Fender recognized the object. What is that? A bead. Of what? Izamu threw it. Force exploded.
The blast struck the clustered constructs with a violent compression that seemed to fold the air inward before releasing it again. One sphere escaped the center. Another did not. Metal collapsed. The damaged construct struck the floor and bounced once. Isamu was already moving. He drove his fist into the next sphere. The blow rang to the chamber like a struck bell. He hit it again. The machine reeled through the air. Fender felt restorative power answer him. He released it across the group. Not enough to erase the lightning. Enough to keep everyone moving. Better, Mia asked. Caleb blocked a piston strike with Beastmaker. Yes. Nethanarel flexed a hand that still tingled from electricity. Marginally. Hexen roared. Fender looked at him. I'm counting that as yes. A sphere came too close. Fender had been waiting for that. The Vorpal longsword moved. For years, the blade's most terrifying enchantment had carried the promise of a perfect stroke. Bender had experienced the promise more often than the fulfillment. The sword did not care whether its target possessed a neck. The instant his attack landed, the enchantment awakened. The blade passed through the hovering machine, not merely cutting, ending. The construct separated into pieces so cleanly that its buzzing continued for half a second after the body no longer existed as one object. The halves struck opposite sides of the room, smaller components scattered across the floor. Fender stared at the sword, then at the wreckage. Finally, Kayla looked over. You killed a bull. With exceptional technique, it was a ball. It is now several balls. Nethneril laughed despite herself. Another construct attacked Kaler. Multiple pistons erupted from its shell in quick succession. He turned slightly. One passed his shoulder. Another struck Peacemaker. A third scraped across armor without penetrating. Kaler advanced. The sphere backed away. That's right. Fender sighed. You are intimidating machinery. It's working. The wolves caught another construct low. One jumped. Its jaws closed around metal. The machine tried to rise. A second wolf seized it. Then another. The sphere vanished beneath fur. Metal shrieked. Something snapped. The wolves tore it apart. Essien glanced over. Fender pointed at them. Your wolves are eating the furniture. The bear seemed satisfied. Isamu marked another target. The remaining constructs no longer controlled the room. That was the moment the fight changed. At first, the machines had possessed surprise, height, and clear lines for their lightning. Now the heroes knew how they moved. Veterans did not need much more than that. Isamu caught one with his whip and dragged it offline before it could fire. The construct fought the pull. He stepped forward. The whip tightened. Metal crashed against stone. He struck. Once. Twice. The machine broke apart. Another sphere tried to rise from behind a crate. Hexen's thorn whip caught it first. The impossible green lash snapped around polished metal while the great bear held its ground. He pulled. The sphere shot toward him. Hexen met it with claws. The result was extremely unfair. The machine hit the floor in pieces. Nathan watched the staff of power. One reserve remained inside it. She did not spend it. There were other ways to kill things. Fire formed in her hand. The old certainty of spellcraft settled over her. Beyond it waited wild magic, as always beautiful, dangerous, and rarely interested in anyone's plans. She chose control. Flame struck the damaged sphere Isamu had already weakened. The construct spun. Fendo's arrow finished it. Buzzing continued. One. Somewhere behind them. Everyone turned. A final metallic shape rose from the shadows near the weapon storage. Fender sighed. Of course. The sphere rotated. A seam opened. Blue light gathered. Kaler started toward it. Isamu was closer. Hexen's wolves changed direction. Nethnarel raised one hand. Fender drew. Five heroes moved at once. The final construct lasted very little longer than the argument over who killed it. Then the room went silent. Not completely. Pieces of metal ticked as they cooled. One damaged crate smoldered. The wolves paced among the wreckage, sniffing things that had never been alive. Hexen returned to human form. The cloak of the moon settled around him. He looked down at his hands, then at a torn construct lying nearby. Bender noticed. The whip worked. Yes. You are a bear. Yes. That is going to become irritating. Hexen smiled. It already is. Nethmerir leaned against the staff of power for a moment. The lightning it had released remained in her bones as a faint ache. One charge. Kaler looked at her. Enough, but like, that is what I said. Isamu nudged one metallic fragment with his boot. Construct. Fender looked at the room. We knew that. No. Isamu crouched. He turned the piece over. These were stored here. That was different. They looked toward the crates, toward the weapon table, toward the strange rods, metal pieces, and devices whose purposes they had not understood. Kayla's expression changed. Armory. Maybe, Hexen said. Fender looked toward the corridor beyond. The twisted waltz had not stopped. They had simply forgotten it during the battle. Three beats. Three beats. Three beats. The melody continued somewhere deeper inside the impossible structure. Nethmer looked back the way they had come. Beyond these walls waited a summoning mark burned only weeks ago. An overgrown last chamber filled with blue light. A red thing that could disappear through stone. Statues of tortured bodies. Weapons. Constructs that flew and hurled lightning. None of it belonged to a dead place. Someone had been here. Someone might still be here. And whatever intelligence within the path had welcomed them as masters had immediately warned that something was wrong. Fender sheathed the Vorpal longsword. The satisfaction of finally feeling its deeper magic answer him had already faded. He listened to the music. What do you suppose they're dancing to? Kaler picked up Peacemaker. We'll ask. Fender looked at him. I walked directly into that. Yes. Isamu moved toward the next corridor. The wolves followed. Hexen touched the cloak of the moon. Nestnarl raised her nearly exhausted staff. They had found the path beneath Gildan, expecting an ancient answer. Instead, they had found evidence of a recent visitor. The difference mattered. Ancient evil was history. A fresh burn was intent. The five heroes went deeper. Behind them, the wreckage of the metallic guardians lay scattered across the floor. Ahead, The waltz turned through another broken measure and did not stop.